Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. We are concluding our series today entitled The Games We Play, since we'll have a revival beginning next week. And we are going to be in Acts chapter 26 this morning. If you want to follow along, if not, it will be on the screen. We've entitled this lesson Agrippa and Almost. Of course, we know how the song goes, Almost Persuaded and Agrippa, but we're going to take a look at much of the lesson around there in about three different chapters there in the book of Acts, dealing with three different Roman leaders. But anyway, if you want to turn to Acts chapter 26, verses 24 through 32, we're going to read that this morning. While Paul was saying this in his defense, Festus said in a loud voice, "Paul, you are out of your mind. Your great learning is driving you mad." I wanted to start and share with that verse because I remember years ago working with Kenny and Tim and Mark and different things. There were several guys we'd talked to on the job site about church and different things. And the one guy knew enough Bible the one day that he quoted this to us. As I just remember, he was hanging cabinets, and he was getting after us one day, and we were talking about the Bible, and he says, "Your much learning has made you mad." And I've just thought of that through the years. We were able to answer to him that we are not out of our mind, most excellent cabinet hanger. But anyway, I just remember the guy using that to us. But verse 25 says, "But Paul said, I am not out of my mind, most excellent Festus, but I utter words of sober truth. For the king knows about these matters, and I speak to him also with confidence, since I am persuaded that none of these things escaped his notice, for this has not been done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do." Agrippa replied to Paul, "In a short time you will persuade me to become a Christian." Or as probably the New King James is what we're most familiar with, perhaps King James, "Almost thou persuade me to be a Christian." Verse 29, and Paul said, "I would wish to God that whether in a short time or a long time, not only you but all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains." In Acts chapters 24, 25, and 26, we read of three Roman leaders. There is Felix, and we're going to talk about each one of these just shortly. But Felix, Festus, and Herod Agrippa II. Remember, we talked about Herod Agrippa, which is the one that got eaten by the worms. Herod the Great. That was the one that would have been king when Jesus was born. And so we mentioned these three men, Felix, Festus, and just so some of you don't get confused, Festus is not the inventor of the holy day Festivus. For all you Seinfeld watchers there. And then Herod Agrippa II. A couple other people that we'll be talking about in this text are Drusilla and Bernice. They were sisters. Drusilla was the wife of Felix that you can read about in Acts 24:24. Bernice was married to Agrippa II, and she was not only his wife, she got to play double roles. She was also his sister. Was one of the fairest and most beautiful women of her time. Now, I had read through many different commentaries here this week trying to make sense of, but both of them were saying that both these women were quite very good looking. This Bernice, specifically, she had been married several times. And one of them not only was to her brother, but one was to her her dad's brother, so that would have been uncle. Then also she would marry, had been married twice before this, before Paul comes in contact with her here in this situation in Acts 25:13. Later on in her life, we've maybe heard in history of Vespasian. This was the father. We probably know his son better, which was Titus, the Roman governor. And she was had relationships with both of them. We'll just say in a nice way, she got around. Okay? But this plays into the story, or this plays into the story because it plays into the lesson that Paul's trying to teach them. Okay? She never did. She hooked up with Titus. They went to Rome, but because of all of her former relationships, just imagine how bad something has to be that the Roman government thought that everything that was going on was crazy. Okay? When she was with Titus, because Titus probably would have married her, but Rome was throwing a fit. Public disapproval. So that's just a little background for you to know what's going on here. So in our text, we're going to want to look at three things here this morning that people play games with God. We've used that as an overwhelming phrase here in this this series of Don't Play Games with God. And Paul kind of continues with that theme, except for he takes it one step farther that I want for us to at least consider in our first two points this morning. And that is, we as Christians many times get looked down upon as second-class citizens. What I mean by that is, many times if you've been into any discussion with people from the world at all, they look down on you and they will many times refer to us as ignorant, as being naive to the situations going on around us. I'm here to let you know this morning that we ought to be so in tune with God's word that we've been using the phrase, don't play games with God, and I think that Paul does this, and this is why for our first two points we're going to use this phrase as well, that us Christians ought to be so in tune with the Word of God, so trying to do the will of God, so trying to please the Lord in what we do, that when other people look down upon us or try to say, well, you don't get it because you're a Christian, use the phrase, don't play games with me. I am not ignorant. I am not naive to the world situation. And that's what Paul is saying. Don't try to play games with me, and don't try to play games with God. But I want to consider those two things, at least in our first two points this morning. The world shouts that you don't get it. Your much learning has made you mad. And so the world shouts to us, you don't get it. Right? I'd try to talk to you, someone's, but you're a Christian and you just don't get it. I'm here to let you know this morning, and you need to let me know, and we need to let the world know that we get it. As a matter of fact, so much that I think that we get it better than the world does, and the world don't get it. But the world shouts at us, you don't get it. You don't get it. Acts chapter 26, verses 19 through 23. So King Agrippa, I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision. Got to understand and know the context of Acts chapter 26 here. This is where Paul has told them of him coming to Christ. It is such a sad thing. This is what you got to watch when you're reading commentaries and different things. And they'll inevitably, somebody will put along the line, And Saul was converted on the road to Damascus. Saul was not converted on the road to Damascus. The Bible never says that. As a matter of fact, he was told to go into Damascus, go to the street called Straight, and there a prophet would come and talk to him and tell him what he needed to do to be saved. Therefore, he was not saved prior to that. Even 3 days of praying, 3 days of blindness, he was not saved. He was as lost when he got to Damascus as he was when he headed out on that road to Damascus. Amen? If you believe what the Bible says, right? Then he was told what to do. Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord. I did not prove disobedient to the heavenly vision, but kept declaring both to those of Damascus first and also at Jerusalem, and then through all out the region of Judea and even to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God, performing deeds appropriate to repentance. For this reason, some Jews seized me in the temple and tried to put me to death. So having obtained help from God, I stand to this day testifying both to small and great, stating nothing but what the prophets and Moses said was going to take place. That's an important thing for us to understand here. You'll see that this comes up again later. Because we have to remember a few things about these Roman leaders, especially Herod Agrippa II. Do we remember what nationality he was? Idumean. His dad was Idumean, right? His grandfather was Idumean. What does that mean? He was an Edomite. He was an Edomite. Do we remember when we go back and study who the Edomites were? Who was their daddy? Esau. Who was Esau's brother? Jacob. Jacob was Israel. And the 12 tribes that came from them, Esau had his 12 princes that came from him. But who was the one of the chosen line? Jacob and his family. And that's why I keep going back to this, and I wanted to share this a couple weeks ago when we saw this and was talking about Herod. But, you know, those Jews that were looking for the Messiah to come should have known, because prophecy was when the scepter passes from the tribe of Judah, Herod the Great became king and was not an Israelite. He was an Edomite. He was Idumean. They should have known that the Messiah was coming. That would have answered all their questions, at least at the birth of Christ anyway. All right. But anyway, so what we're saying is he taught them the prophets and Moses. Every good Jew would know that. Okay. 23. That Christ was to suffer, and that by reason of his resurrection from the dead, he would be the first to proclaim light both to Jewish people and to the Gentiles. And this is where Paul was saying and expressing that it's important for us to know, and he tells this in the context earlier, if you'd go back and look at that, that he says, because of the prophets and because of Moses, I followed it out completely. See, there's so many people in the church today, well, that want to be in the church today, that think they're a part of the church today, that see the plan of salvation and they don't follow it out completely. It may start with a belief. Yes, I believe that Jesus is the Christ. Amen. It may even have some repentance involved. Right? They might confess that Jesus is Lord, but we are not into the body of Christ until we are immersed into the body of Christ. Same thing, that's what Paul's trying to share here. If you would just follow out the prophets and Moses to its conclusion, it's going to bring you to Jesus. And that's what Paul said, is we quit short before, but now I declare the entire counsel of God. Don't cut yourself short, people. There'll be numerous myriads of people lined up for the judgment of hell because they cut themselves short in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Even when presented with a simple frame of the gospel, some still refuse to see what God has done. Festus then in an upward, now I wanted to think this morning, or I was trying to think this past week, if this happened to Xander, right? How would Xander respond? If he was telling Felix, or if he was telling Festus about this situation, how would they respond to Xander so that he could commute? Because he's always talking about some of his classes he takes in Fort Wayne and some of his friends there, and they have a different language than we use sometimes. So, Festus, if he was talking to you, Xander, this morning, instead of saying, "Your much learning has made you mad," here's how it would probably sound for you today that would get this. "Xander, you be cray-cray, man." Right? And I can just imagine if we had this translated today, right, that Festus would be like, "Paul, you cray-cray, man. You're crazy, boy. You don't get it." Right? And so as we look at this, Xander right away would say, "I'm not crazy." Right? "I'm not crazy. Paul said I'm not crazy." But the world and those Christians that don't submit to the precious word, they're the ones that are cray-cray. They're the ones that are crazy. I'm disappointed when Christians that want to go their own way and to do their own thing point fingers and shout how much they love Jesus when it's really truly self that they love. And it's all a guise. And that's what I want to say. When they look at us and say we're cray-cray, I just want to turn to them and say, "Uh-uh, you be crazy." Right? Anyone who loves Jesus would not badmouth his church. Anyone who loves Jesus would not continue in sin that grace may abound. Anyone who loves Jesus would not live like the world and then parade around like they're a saint. I'm here to tell you this morning, don't play games with me. Don't play games with the church. Don't play games with all of us here. And by all means, don't play games with God. Secondly, from this text, come to the realization, and I've learned this in the hard knocks of the biblical life, is that in your discussions with people about the Bible, people understand more than they let on. Amen. People understand more than they let on. I have heard and have been in discussions with people, and I'm sure that you have as well. And since we had made mention of baptism earlier, I'll use one of those instances, for example. I know that well-educated people in the Bible will stand and look me in the eye and say, "Well, you know there is nowhere in the Bible where it says you have to be baptized to be saved." Now, you got to be taught cray-cray, right? You have to be, it takes misteaching to not get that from the Scripture. 1 Peter 3:21, Mark 16:16, Acts 2:38, go on list where it unites salvation and baptism. And yet they'll say, "You know the Bible doesn't say anything." They know more than they're letting on. You don't have to be around the Lord's table every week. Honestly, I think they're letting on, or they're they understand more than they're letting on. They may say they don't have to, but I think they know. But it's a matter of the difference between what they know, what the Word of God says, and what they want to do in their heart. Felix and his wife Drusilla, of course, still married. They still got married after scheming, lying, and immorality got in their way. They still did what they wanted to do. Consider these passages from earlier in the book of Acts when Paul was talking to Felix, Acts 24:22. But Felix, having a more exact knowledge about the way, putting them off, saying, when Lysias, the commander, comes down, I will decide your case. Paul looked at Felix and he said, you know what? I know that you get it, man. He'll say that many times through here. But what he's saying is, Felix is saying, I'm not going to talk about it. So what Felix is really saying is, he understands more than he's letting on. He understands more than he is letting on. It says Felix has more exact knowledge because of his ancestry of his wife Drusilla being a Jewess. Acts 24:24. You can find that. Also in the book of Acts, chapter 24:25, it says, but as he was discussing righteousness, this is Paul, discussing righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Right? Drusilla and Felix schemed, lied, misled, were involved in immorality, and these were non-Christians, people. And Paul, speaking to them, discussed righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Do you think that's going to make Felix happy? No. Scripture tells us what happened. Felix got scared. Felix got frightened. You know what that tells me? You know what that tells you? That he understood what the Scripture was about. Why get scared about it if you don't get it? Felix became frightened and said, go away for the present. Remember this where we've got come back some more convenient day? On thee I'll call, right? When I find the time, I will summon you. As Paul discussed these things, he was scared. He was living out what Paul was preaching against. And people do the same thing today. When we use the gospel, when we use the Word of God, and we preach out against what people are doing, they will pick at everything else, and they're going to get scared, and they're going to pick at everything else. Church, there is a reason to be frightened when we intentionally go against God. When the world sins, we expect that. We expect for the world to act sinful, don't we? But when Christians willfully sin, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. Read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, 26. So when you want to live a life of sin and tell me that you are good with God, I'm going to tell you this. Don't play games with me, church, right? Don't play games with us. Don't tell me this is the best thing in your life that's ever been, and it's totally sinful. And by all means, please, don't play games with God. Number three this morning. But we do see what Paul finishes up this context and the whole thing here of trying to get Felix and Festus and Agrippa all to come to their senses. He finishes up there and he says, I wish that you could all be like me. What does he mean by that? I'm a Christian and I want you to be one too. I wish that you could all be like me. And then he throws in, except for these chains. Right? so that you don't have to have these chains. Consider what great things we have from the Apostle Paul while he was in prison waiting to meet Caesar. Remember what conversation has taken place here between Felix and Lysias and Festus and Agrippa II? He would have been turned loose if what? If he hadn't appealed to Caesar. We would have turned him loose. We would have set him free. But then look what we would have missed out on. Wouldn't that have been great if he wouldn't have had to go to prison? Wouldn't that be great if he wouldn't have been sent to Rome and sit in prison all the time? But look what we would miss out on. The letter to the Ephesians, the letter to the Philippians, the letter to the Colossians, the letter to Philemon. We would have missed out on all of those because Paul did appeal to Caesar. We did not miss out on them then because of that. We may not have had these writings today. We may have. They wouldn't be known as the prison epistles. But if we have learned anything about Paul, it's that he never shrank back from declaring the whole counsel of God. Paul says, what I hope we all think, and I hope what we would all say, I would wish, and that word always bothers me when Christians use that, or I see that here in Scripture, and I saw that, and I was like, so I looked into it a little. It's to say, I pray, because I always think wish, you know, like rubbing on a genie's bottle, or you're breaking the wishbone, and you're wanting that. That's not like, oh, I wish. No, this is saying, I pray for them. This is the word that's used here. I would pray to God that whether in a short or a long time, not only you, and so he's got, they're all sitting here listening to him, Agrippa II, Festus, they're all sitting here listening to him, not only you, but all who hear me this day might become such as I am, except for these chains. Peter says that God looks at it like this, and we're so thankful that he does, church. 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9. The Lord is not slow about his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you. If you're here this morning and you're thankful that Jesus Christ is patient towards us, if God the Father is patient towards us, that the working of the Holy Spirit is patient within us, raise your hand. Amen. But he is patient towards you, not wishing for any to perish, but for all to come to repentance. Who's Peter writing to? Group of non-Christians? He's writing to the church. Telling the church, this is the attitude you need to have when you're dealing with the world. Be patient. We're wanting them to come to repentance. But even so, church, have we done anything this past week that's worthy of repentance? Don't raise your hand. Yes, we have. But the Lord still wants for us to repent and restore that relationship with him. We're told in Acts 17:30, there was a time of ignorance that God once winked at. But now he commands all men everywhere to repent. Church, don't play games with God. Agrippa was almost persuaded. And the song finishes off, almost, but lost. We encourage you here this morning not to leave here lost, but to be a part of the body of Jesus Christ. There's a plan of salvation that's given that tells us that we need to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. That we also need to repent. That because of our sin, we have repentance that's needed in our life. And unless you repent, you will likewise perish. That you need to confess Jesus Christ as Lord. Let everybody know. Shout from the mountaintops that Jesus Christ is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And your Savior. then be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. To arise to walk in the new life and to be faithful unto death. And he will give us the crown of life. I surrender all. It's a song that we sing many times at revivals, and we've had this all week in during our series, 6-week series here. But I surrender all. Give it all to Jesus. Don't play games with God.